In Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, the Bible says, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar." And verse 12 says, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we are. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." May God bless the reading of his word. We're going to talk about true sons of Isaac this morning. We're going to talk about true sons of Isaac, men that know how to survive in the promised land during a season of famine. Men who know how to be encouragers and know how to dig wells. And stopped up wells. Men who leave behind them something that will give unending life and blessing to others. I want to encourage all of the fathers today. And we're looking in a text in Genesis 26 at Abraham's son Isaac. And we're going to find that he's a model for all of us as men, because we need to learn how to keep moving in life. We need to learn how to move away from and divorce ourselves from every attitude and everything in this life that can slow down our flow and slow down and stop up our wells. As men, we need to know how to keep moving in God. We need to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see in Isaac a man who knew how to divorce himself from three primary areas. We're going to look at envy this morning. We're going to look at contention. And we're going to look at hatred. And we're going to see that in our journeying as men, God is calling us. And by the way, you can hear ladies today, men/women, sons and daughters of Isaac. Okay, you can throw yourselves in. This isn't just primarily a Father's Day message, but I want to encourage the fathers, because we bear unique pressures in the culture. And we as men have to make sure that we do not allow our lives to be polluted with three essential attitudes. And we're going to take a look at the life of Isaac, because this man had the gift of water. This is the greatest gift you can have in the desert, is water. If you sunk a well in the time of Isaac, that would make you as famous as a man who built a pyramid. Water was life or death in the desert. Think about it. If you had a well, you had life. And we see in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, that God blessed Isaac. He was an extraordinarily blessed man. He had flocks, he had herds, he had children, he had every kind of material blessing you could imagine, but it all depended upon his ability to have the gift of water. And the scripture says that there was a famine in the promised land, a contradictory sounding phrase. But as we look at our lives, you may see similar contradictions in your own life. There can be famines in the promised land. Men, even when you're where God has placed you, there can be a famine. And the text says it was the second such famine in the promised land. There was one in the time of his father Abraham, and there was one in the time of Isaac. And we are living in a strange time in our culture, where there has been a famine in the promised land. But true sons of Isaac know how to negotiate their way through a famine, even in the promised land. They learn how not to allow their spirits to be polluted by all the trappings of this world. Let's take a look at the story, because the first thing we're going to see is Isaac was so immensely blessed. His name, by the way, Yitzhak, meant laughter. But we're going to find out the first attitude that Isaac divorced himself from, mentioned in verse 14, is envy. He was wealthy, and his wealth provoked the envy of the Philistines. Now, Isaac's name meant laughter, but that didn't mean everyone was going to laugh along with him when he prospered. Did you know that not everybody wants to see you prosper? In your marriage, in your family, in your business, in your ministry, there are some people who would rather die than see you blessed. Now, look at the text. It says the Philistines stopped up the wells. Now, when you live in the desert and you need water to survive, why would you stop up the wells and ruin the possibility of you, your family, or anyone else drinking? Did you know envy, the green-eyed monster? That sense of desiring the advantage someone else possesses, that something inside that goes, well, I'm prettier than she is. How did she get him? Or I can't imagine that. Or that feeling when someone keys that new car somebody got, and deep down inside you go, envy, the green-eyed monster. Whenever you become fruitful in any area in the public domain, you will draw the envy of people. Joseph was blessed, and the scripture says his brothers envied him. And the evolution we'll find today is envy, contention, and hatred. And that usually leads to the M word, murder. David was beloved of the people of God. And it says one day after battle that they came in and Saul and David had a rough day. And all the girls came out and sang, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul envied him from that day on. Envy, the green-eyed monster. If sin makes you stupid, envy makes you crazy. Crazy. Sin makes you stupid. You know that? You see, perfectly sober people with a reasoning mind and great logic doing the dumbest things you could ever imagine. Sin makes you stupid. Remember that. Well, envy makes you crazy. Why would you fill up the wells that will cause your children to die of thirst? Well, you know what? Envy does strange things. So the first attitude Isaac encounters when God blesses him is envy. But I want you to notice he moves away from envy. He will not allow it in his spirit. He will not accept it. He will not get into it. Did you know there's a virtue in knowing when to step aside? A good run is better than a bad stand. You got to know when to run. You got to know when to stay and fight, and you got to know when to run. There's no shame in running, especially away from envy. Notice the first attitude. And the scripture says that they envied him, and he stepped away from it. He divorced his spirit from it. Isaac is an example to all of us men that we need to keep moving, and we need never to allow our hearts to be polluted by envy. You know what? Be yourself. Whenever you step into the public domain, you are going to draw envy for a talent, a gift, an ability, an anointing, whatever it happens to be. But you know, it's a backhanded compliment because it's someone acknowledging you as a superior in an area. Envy is a backhanded compliment. So Isaac is prospered. And listen, gentlemen, we can't allow ourselves to compare ourselves with anyone else. We have to be unashamedly who we are. And we need to stand where God has placed us, and that will draw envy. When you come into your own in any way, shape, or form, you're always going to draw a degree of envy. See, envy is a great way that people try to level you down. People will put you down and gossip about you because it makes them feel a little bit higher if they can make you a little bit lower. So you see, Isaac moved on from envy. He didn't have time for it. But notice the text says that after envy, verse 14, he stepped away from it. And the scripture says in verse 20 that they dug another well. In fact, they hit a gusher. The greatest gusher of Isaac's life was struck right after he divorced himself from envy and walked away from it. Did you know if you'll walk away from the effect of other people's jealousy and envy, and you won't get into it, and you won't mix it up, and you don't get on the phone, and you just say, I'm trusting God. Because see, we're going to find out that Isaac did not trust the well. He trusted in the God that owned all the water. Isaac knew wherever he went, he was going to sink a well. He knew God was his source. And if you know God is your source, you can let that well go. You just let it go. Yeah, it's not conceit. You're not conceding anything. You're giving. They didn't take it. You give it. Sometimes you just have to give something away. It looks like somebody else took. After he steps away from envy, it says he hit a gusher, this living water, the greatest hit they ever had. And yet, notice the scripture says in verse 20 of chapter 26 that they contended with him. They named the well Esek, which means contention. You see, as soon as Isaac sunk this magnificent well, somebody else came in with contention. You know what contention is? It is literally a point advanced or maintained in a debate or argument. Discord, argumentativeness, quarrelsomeness. Did you know there's always somebody that's going to want to claim the well that you dug? That's my ministry, but you didn't dig it. That should be my relationship. Yeah, but you didn't foster that relationship. How come everybody wants to come in and contend for the well you dug? God, now Isaac at any point could have stopped and argued legitimately. Hey, these are my daddy's wells. I can prove it. Oh, look at 14 reasons why it's my, did you know with contention sometimes and argumentativeness and tit for tat and he said, she said, and you're weaving all the intricate arguments, 14 reasons why, countering, recountering, riposte. Sometimes you have to be like Isaac and just let it go. Just walk away. Let the well go. They named the well Esek, which means strife and contention. And Isaac realized real quick that his confidence was not in that well or any well, even a living gusher. The greatest well he'd ever sunk. Oh, it's the greatest well. He walked away. He said, you're going to strive? You're going to contend for this well? Keep it. God. And it wasn't keep it with an attitude. It was keep it. God bless you. You know, when you just sometimes walk away from contention, if the devil will say, no, you better stand and fight. Now, there's a time we confront and we care front and in Matthew 18 and we go to a brother or a sister. But you know what? Most times we need to be like Isaac, true sons of Isaac. Walk away from the envy. Walk away from the strife and the contention. Don't get into it. Some of these things are a tar, baby. If you touch it at all, you're in it for life. Tarred hand on a Rembrandt. Just get away from, there's no way to win. Well, I put my tar, and they put their hand in tar, so I put my hand in tar, so they got fire, and I get fire, and nobody's going to get me. I'm standing up for my boundaries. My right. Your rights are death and hell. Do you want to claim those? I don't see a sign caring group for that. I don't want my rights. I want mercy. He divorced, he left envy, and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. And God gave him the greatest gusher of his life. But even then, they contended. Esek, you know, some people will contend with you no matter what. And you know what? Favor ain't fair. God is just, but favor ain't fair. Isaac had favor. He had the gift of water. Sorry. Oh, God, don't get into their boat. They'll get the wrong idea. Lord, don't bless them with the gift of water. You know what? If God gave you favor, you got favor. David just had favor. Everything they did to him, he just came to the top. Everything they did to Joseph to push him down, just bolted him right up to the top. Loved one, be encouraged. Men, true sons of Isaac, stay away from envy. Stay away from contention. Even if you're right, you can afford to look wrong. Step away from it. Just say, well, you're conceding the point then. I guess you stopped arguing. You know what? It takes two to contend. And in the tug of war, if you let go of your end of the rope, the war's over for you. Just step away from it. True sons of Isaac know when to back off. And just say, well, whatever. Here's a good one. Bless your heart. Three words means anything in the church world. Bless your heart. Woo, it means some nasty things too. Bless his heart. Bless her heart. Step away from the envy. Step away from the contention. Get away from Esek. It takes two to contend. Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride, contention comes. Did you know pride is always at the root of, well, I just need to make one more point. I need to have the last word. Now, what you didn't mention in that last argument, what? Step away. See, if you're a true son or daughter of Isaac, you'll step away from that. You don't need to do that. One man of God used to say, in every decision in life, you have two choices, humble yourself or exalt yourself. In every conversation, every debate, every argument, you can exalt yourself or abase yourself. Now, if you exalt yourself, even when because you're right, you lose, and God won't bless you. You lose everything. You win the argument, lose the soul. Christians, you can win the argument, lose the soul. Just meditate on that later. You can win the argument and lose the marriage. Do you want to be right or do you want to be reconciled? That's the question you have to ask yourself. See, in every crossroads of every debate and argument and conflict, and I'm right and we need to just straighten this out right now, you either abase yourself, humble yourself, and God will exalt you.
Well, I'm right, but I'm going to bow because I'm a...
If you just... He that is face down has no fear of falling, John Bunyan said. Get down. Not because someone forced you at gunpoint, but because you said, you know, I'm so going to grovel in the mud over this one right now because I'm not going to die on this battlefield. And do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Isaac just moved away from envy, divorced that, and he got to contention. Esek, he said, I'm going to get out of that. And then the Bible says in verse 21, they sunk another well. This guy, wherever he goes, he sinks a well. He's got the gift of water. You love one. You got to realize if the favor of God is on you, you're going to get water wherever you go. You're not dependent on that well. You don't need to cling to that well, that person, place, or thing. Oh, my whole identity is in. You know what? Let it go. Your confidence is in the God who owns the water, not the well that you're standing by in the moment. Now, wells were valuable. I don't think you realize. You put flesh on this. That's like saying, and he built the pyramid of Giza and left it. That's exactly what it's like. Who could leave the Great Pyramid? I built that. You know, just say, no, you know what? I don't care whose name gets on the temple. Take it. I love God. God is my source. Remember, Abraham was told by God, I am your exceeding great reward. Isn't that enough? Not things, not pyramids, not emperor's palaces. I'm your reward. Isaac knew that. He was a true son of Abraham in that sense. He was a pilgrim. He wasn't a settler. He was always in process. Walk away from envy. Be yourself, but don't let the effects of it pollute your spirit. Second, walk away from contention. And third, they sunk another well, and they called it Sitna, which means, verse 21, which means hatred. Hatred. Envy to contention to hatred. How's your Christian walk in Jesus? Oh, it's going to be a feather bed. When you walk with God, it's never going to be a sun. You know, it's going to be a cloudy day and it's going to rain. And sometimes that's what you see, a monsoon that goes on for a few years in your life. But that has nothing to do with the fact that God's hand is upon you. Having money doesn't mean God's with you any more than being poor doesn't mean he's not with you. There are people suffering for their faith in prisons right now, and they don't have anything. And it's not sin in their life or a lack of faith. Don't get me started now. Don't get me started. Just back down now. I'm too old. Don't start that with me. Patty cake Christians, pat answers. Blame the victim. Oh, isn't that effective? Let's blame the victim. You didn't have enough faith. My handicapped boy, Michael, I ordered a little shirt. It's got one box says, there's sin in my life, and one box says, I don't have enough faith. So I'm going to send him to school in that. Mark the box. Do you see how much a pat answer that is? Job was a category buster. He didn't fit into either of those categories. There's always a third category. Don't start me now. He left envy. Isaac moved away from it. He moved away from contention and wound up flat in the middle of Sitna. Hatred. Did you know one of the reasons I think they hated him so much is because they knew his flaws? Read the 26th chapter. I left out a few verses. This guy was a true son of Isaac. Not only was he righteous the way Abraham was, Isaac was the son of Abraham, but he was also a sinner like his father. You remember his father lied about his wife, Sarah? And she was real pretty and went into the land and he lied and said, say you're my sister. Isaac does the same thing. And he has to be corrected by the pagans. Isn't it nasty when pagans have to correct us? And by the way, they do quite often. Listen to them. Why, they're nothing but a damned soul. What are they telling me? They're telling you the truth. If God can speak through Balaam's ass, he can speak through a pagan. And the pagans had to get to Isaac and say, what are you doing here? It was the pagans that said to Jonah, what are you doing here? It was the Philistines that said to David, what are you doing in Ziklag? God will strike a straight blow with a crooked stick. We know your life. He didn't stop using non-Christians when Nebuchadnezzar died. He feeds his prophets with dirty birds, and he can speak through a dirty bird. Open your ear. So Isaac had character flaws. But that gave his enemies all the more boldness to hate him. But did you know, even though you're a sinner, if the favor of God is on you, you prosper. Drives people crazy. Drives them to hatred. Oh,
God, Jen, I know everything about them, and I'm much better looking, and I should have had that car, and I happen, let me tell you a little something, you don't know about that pastor. Now, just let's see, oh, he's anointed. Well, let me just, you know what, favor ain't fair. It isn't fair. And people that know your flaws or your past may try to leverage that knowledge in hatred to try to assault you. But you see, Isaac was a true son of Abraham. He just stepped away from that well. This man's given up wells. This isn't a mealy-mouthed guy going, you know, I really don't like conflict, so y'all just take everything I own. This is an informed man of faith that said, my confidence is in God. Go ahead, keep your envy. Keep your contention. Keep your hatred. And the scripture tells us, thank God, in verse 22, that he sunk a well called Rehoboth, which meant rest and spaciousness. Finally, he sunk a well they didn't contend over. Did you know some of you are just this close to coming out and coming in to a place of rest? And there's going to be rest on the east and the west and the north and the south. And you're almost at, you had to go through the envy, the contention, the hatred. Don't stop now. Keep digging your wells. Follow Isaac's pattern, because Rehoboth means spaciousness. Finally, there was a place of peace. Oh, and it's delicious. I've heard it say that health and wealth are best appreciated when interrupted. Think about it. You savor your health when you've lost it and regained it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. A poor king is poor indeed. You've had it, you lose it, you get it again. You're grateful. You're happy this time. Someone say amen. Rehoboth, room, space. Hallelujah. We're almost there. Hold on. Hold on. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. You're moving not only away from envy and contention and hatred, but you're moving closer to Rehoboth, the place of rest. Well, it'd be nice if the story ends there. Let's put a period at the end of the sentence, Lord, where it belongs, and let's just stop. Well, God wasn't finished yet. He wanted him to go to one more place. He wanted him to return to one more well, and it was a return, because he is called in chapter 26, verse 23, to go back to the first well Abraham dug, which was the well of Beersheba. Beersheba represents going back to your enemies you've been at odds with and making peace with them and taking a covenant oath with them. God's ultimate will for Isaac was not that he just divorce himself from envy, contention, and hatred and come to a place of blessing, but it was that he would be sent by God back to the past, to the broken relationships, to the hurt places, to the burnt stones, to the unresolved situations. In this case, Abimelech, he was the man. I don't know what your Abimelech is, who the person is you've got a broken relationship with. I don't know what the situation is that just was never mended. It was never healed. True sons of Isaac and true sons and daughters of Isaac know how, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to go back to the past to make it right. Because, you know, if we're all united and digging together, we can get a lot more done than if we're digging alone. Now, God wouldn't call me to do that. He called Isaac to do that. He said, now you go back to all. And by the way, the scripture says in Beersheba, his enemies did come and acknowledge that he was of God. Abimelech, the whole gang came up and said, you know what? We got to admit it. God's with you. Some of you are so close to people coming back and saying, God's with you. I was wrong. You're right. God's with you the whole time. He was with you the whole time. The enemies did come to Isaac and proclaim him God's man. They did come eventually, full circle, and say, we saw you not take that envy, that contention, that hatred. We saw you choose the right thing. God's with you. But in tandem with that was Isaac's willingness to go set things right as God opened the door. You can't go to everybody and seek people out, but you can be open to God, leading people back into your life where there would be loose ends tied up. Someone say amen. No, I quit the preaching and going to meddling. I know. See, that's right where the Spirit lifted off of him. I saw a dove. It was not so much visible but invisible. It was leaving right through the wall. When I quit to preaching and went to meddling. God wants us to tie up some loose ends. In the next few months, don't be shocked who calls you, who you get an email from, or who you have an opportunity to run into at the mall. It's time to mend the bridges. Insofar, Paul says, if we can make peace in and of ourselves, we're to make peace.
If someone refuses it, that's one thing. But are you willing to be a true son of Isaac, a true daughter of Isaac, avoid the envy, the contention, the hatred, find peace, but then be willing to go back? Mm-hmm. I know it's good. I'm going to conclude with 8 identifying characteristics of true sons of Isaac. And those watching by television are just going to have to get the tape. Go to the website. Because I'm not going to preach with the tyranny of the urgent hanging over my head. But we love you. Come to Bethel and visit us. DrCraigJohnson.net. Come on. We want you to come visit us at the Hampton Inn and Suites. But you're going to miss the next few points that would have changed your life. So go to the website. The first of 8 identifying marks of true sons of Isaac. First, true sons of Isaac have joy or laughter that brings them beyond current problems. There was a buoyancy and a humor to Isaac. Did you know humor is the great universal key that unlocks everything? A light heart. Take the ministry seriously. Never take yourself seriously because you are a joke. People, it's called a category mistake. People think you're making fun of the Holy Spirit if you make fun of yourself or something going on in the body of Christ. Isaac was buoyant. He was playful with his wife. His name meant laughter. And Proverbs tells us in 17:22 that a joyful, light heart is like a medicine that goes down into your bones. There's something about the buoyancy of true sons and daughters of Isaac that allow them to rise above the immediate famine in the promised land because they can laugh at it. Sometimes you can only laugh at how bad everything is going. It wasn't just too long ago that I just looked in the mirror, like Woody Allen in Annie Hall. There are moments in life where you can just look into the camera because there's just nothing you can say. Everything went wrong in a week. Everything. And I started laughing. Had my kids at the airport ready to go to North Carolina last week, and we got there for the 12:55 a.m. flight, and the woman said, "Sir, that was yesterday." I had my tick for just a minute. Then I started laughing, and my kids started laughing. There's something about buoyancy and laughter that'll get you through a famine in the promised land. Humor is the great universal language. Not music, humor. Amen? Second, true sons of Isaac have faith in God, not in this well. I don't know what well you've had confidence in, your gift, your ability, your talent, your education, your money, your fame, your pedigree, your whatever, but sometimes we make a well, a thing, our God. We make that our source. It's a talent, a gift, an ability, some legitimate thing God's given you. But did you know that true sons of Isaac and daughters of Isaac never make the well their source? Because wells can be stopped up by Philistines. The flow can be cut off by somebody throwing dirt. And you know what? You got to be ready to hold loosely to every person, place, or thing in your life where you can let a well go just like that. No confidence in your talent, gift, ability, or your individuality, but only in God. True sons of Isaac have confidence not in this well, whatever it is. And Isaac was a free man. He was a free man because he was able to walk away from anything that God had done through him. See, you're only a free woman if you can walk away. If you can't walk away, it's got you. You don't have it. If you can walk away, it doesn't have you. You have it. Loved one, we got to be able to walk away if we're true sons and daughters of Isaac. Just be able to know my confidence is in God. That house can burn. That property can burn. Those jewels can sink into the sea. God is my source. It's easy to preach. It's hard to live. Because you look at the barren landscape of your life right now, it makes you want to cling to wells. That's the next point. True sons of Isaac, daughters of Isaac, believe in God, not the landscape. The landscape was barren. The landscape in the natural said, famine in the promised land, famine in the promised land. Okay? Only God's Spirit can give you vision to see beyond the landscape. Look at this present economy. We are not keeping our focus on the landscape. Our confidence is in God who owns all the water. That's what true sons and daughters of Isaac will do. They will focus on God, not the landscape. Because you look in the natural and it's hopeless. That's what your gaze is. That's real. We're a but God church. Yeah, it's worse than you thought, but God is able.
Yeah, it's terrible, but God can raise dead things. Yeah, they said that about you, but God's able to salvage what's left of your reputation. Yeah, it hurt, but God is the one that has the healing myrrh that will bring life to us. We're but God people. We need to admit how bad it looks in the landscape, but God is able, because true sons of Isaac are looking at the Lord. Next point, true sons and daughters of Isaac are willing to dig. Last I checked, water doesn't just come out of the water and jump into your cup. And we have a lot of movements that will teach you. You can go to a three-day seminar and learn how to hold your cup out. Water's just going to jump right out of the... No, it isn't. This any more than fish are going to jump out of the water, gutting themselves as they go into your pan. In Jesus' name. Fish will jump out of the water and gut themselves and fall right in my pan. Never gonna happen. Sons and daughters of Isaac... dig. They're willing to dig. If you don't dig in that marriage and make yourself better, it's not going to work. If you don't dig in that situation with your family to become a better parent, you're never going to become a better parent. You don't get anything in the kingdom by hoping for it, wishing for it, or we'd all be kings and queens. You got to dig. You got to do the work. Everybody wants to be a doctor. Nobody wants to go to school for 15 years. Everybody wants to have a degree. Nobody wants to do the work. Everybody wants to have a good relationship. Don't want to put anything into it. Everybody wants a harvest without sowing one seed. True sons and daughters of Isaac, no, they've got to dig. And by the way, the next point, you got to dig here. Right here where you are now in your life. You got to dig here. No, not someday. Someday when the golden sun beckons me on to the new thing that the Lord has promised me, many dig here. Now. This is the only moment you have. Decades are going by while you're looking for some elusive something. You don't even know what you're looking for. If God gave you a blank check and said, I'll give you whatever you want. You have 30 seconds. What do you want? It would be, having a bowel movement right there. You wouldn't know what, you wouldn't even, after all the kvetching, you wouldn't even know what to ask for because you don't even know what you need because you don't even know what you're made for. It's our purpose to discover our purpose, but we need to dig now, here, in this situation, in this mess. This mess will become the message. This test will become the testimony. Not sometime, somewhere, somehow. You know, I feel a day is coming. Dig here. Dig in this church. Give financially in this church. Put your sweat in this church. Help us grow this place into what God wants it right here. Someone say amen. Next point, we're almost finished. Cakes are done. People are finished. True sons of Isaac remove dirt. They don't throw dirt. It was the Philistines that threw the dirt. It was the Philistines that loaded up those wells. It was the Philistines in their crazy envy and sinful thinking that cut their own blessing off just as you can cut your nose off to spite your face. You can block up a well thinking you're getting them and you're killing you. True sons and daughters of Isaac, they unstop wells. Philistines fill them up. But unfortunately, we true sons of Isaac sometimes have a Philistine anointing on us. Throwing dirt. Last thing of the last dirt you were slinging. You had a Philistine anointing on you. See, Philistines throw dirt. Sons and daughters of Isaac dig it out. See, we're digging stones out. We need to unstop people's wells. We're not here to fill people's wells up. That's not what we're here for. It got quiet, deathly quiet. Now watch the tape right there just before the gunshot goes off. Watch, he's going back to his notes. You won't believe this is on YouTube. Yep. Second to last point, sons of Isaac, true sons of Isaac, leave wells behind that bless others after them. Did you know where God's interest is in generation next? Gentlemen, we need to leave something behind us like Isaac did, wells that have a life-giving capacity. It goes beyond us. We are leading our children right now in everything that we say and do. And we need to leave a legacy behind us and leave a fragrance like incense behind us. That's what true sons of Isaac do, and that needs to be our prayer. And finally, true sons of Isaac are willing to go back to their enemies and make peace. Again, the final point, Beersheba, full circle. Isaac started following his daddy, and God called him back to the very first well his daddy had sunk. And it was to bring peace and reconciliation. Abraham Lincoln said, "Am I not destroying my enemies when I make friends of them?" Let's destroy our enemies by making friends with them. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that in the midst of everything, we're going to be true sons and daughters of Isaac. We thank you, Lord, that you have called each of us to the special task of divorcing our spirits from envy, contention, hatred. And Lord, you will bring us to Rehoboth. You will bring us to a place of peace and rest. You will bring us to a place where we are able to renew an oath with you and even those we have hurt and those that have hurt us, so that our record is clean, our slate is clean, and we will be true sons and daughters of Isaac. Lord, bless these words, and we thank you that none of this can be done except through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, his forgiveness, his sacrificial death upon the cross, his resurrection from the dead, that we look at our true Isaac. Lord, we're not going to have faith and confidence in the landscape or in the wells we've trusted in or even dug ourselves. We're only going to have confidence in the Lord of the water. Lord, give us the gift of water in the midst of this time of famine. We look to you only in Jesus' name. And everyone said, give the Lord some praise. Give him some praise.